Hello and welcome to the I'm Triggered podcast. I'm Nathan.
And I'm Lauren.
We would like to take this time to let you know that this podcast may trigger you.
We don't take ourselves very seriously, but we will be talking about some very serious topics.
That being said, let's get triggered.
Let's do this.
We're hilarious.
We are very funny.
And very triggered.
Extremely. That was a lot harder
than it should have been. That was torture.
That was terrible.
So for the listeners out there, before every episode, I take a little bit of like an audio cue of the room around. And this is maybe like the 10th try of doing that. And finally, these bitches stopped laughing. Hello, by the way, it's Nathan.
I'm Lauren.
Welcome to the I'm Triggered podcast. Oh my God, we're back.
It's been a while.
It's been a hot second. Well, you know the Rona. Mm-hmm. The Rona's been a rampant.
Mm-hmm. It's been around.
Uh-huh. A Rona around. Mm-hmm. A rampant. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we're back. Gassier than ever. God, faggier than ever. So gassy. Can you confirm?
I'm gassy.
Yeah.
And a little bit faggy. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We're joined by two recurrent guests, Kenneth.
That's me.
And Bella.
Hi.
Welcome back, you two. It's a miracle that you came back.
Welcome back, you people. Yeah. We are so glad to be here.
Just make sure the check is first and last name. Yes. I would have not done this for free.
We are definitely here against our will.
Mm-hmm. Wow, are they in for a rude awakening?
We have that money. Did you say a swood?
I'm expensive as fuck.
A swood awakening.
A swood awakening?
Yeah.
It's fashion.
I think the anger guy from... ads could definitely... Well, we could give them each like 1 cent, probably.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I will say, if it sounds like anyone in here is sucking a dick...
It's because we are.
It's happening.
Everyone except Nathan. We're eating delicious Dairy Queen. So thank you for my payment. You lured me in with the treats.
That's right.
I, on the other hand, am sucking a dick. So mm-hmm. Just so you're aware of that.
It's on brand like every other episode, right?
Correct. Yeah. It's been several, I would say months since we... January. Yeah, January 1st was our last episode. A lot of shit has happened.
So many ups and downs.
Mostly downs.
Our world is upside down.
Correct.
It's the new normal.
It is. Completely different reality than when we recorded an episode on the date, on the hour, on the minute that it turned into 2020. And little did we know that it was going to turn into this firestorm.
Jesus.
We had no idea.
I feel naive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, we thought it was no big deal. Like, oh, that's just a few cases here and there. Mm-hmm. Everything's all fine and dandy. It's not going to come to the U.S.
And here we are.
It's like every month we've had an event occur.
World War III.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Australia's on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coronavirus.
Murder hornets?
Yeah. Murder hornets are now in the U.S., which is just great.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's a good time.
Can't wait for June. See you next month.
Kenneth got bit by one, I'm sure. Yeah. Two bites. Several inches apart and guy inches. Not girl inches.
That's true.
Yeah. So you know.
Does that mean they're smaller?
Yeah.
Guy inches are smaller than girl inches.
Sure.
Yeah. Because they over, estimate there.
So they're about 32 inches apart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, for both of you, what was it like at the beginning of the year, and then now here we are? Like, what was your thought process on New Year's Day? Was it like, oh God, this is New Year, new me?
No, it was.
New Year, new meme.
Oh, dad joke for sure.
You know, that's kind of coming true because there's a lot of memes coming out of this with everyone being stuck inside.
But they're honestly kind of like now they're recycled. They're all the same now.
True.
Like you get a meme format and then you murder it with like constant reiterations. Mm-hmm. And then you move on to the next one.
Or maybe I'm just spending way more time on social media.
That's probably what's happening.
God, I've been spending so much time on social media. It's disgusting.
Same.
I want to throw my phone away sometimes, but I can't. I'm addicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. What else am I going to do? Sit there with my thoughts?
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, no.
Dangerous.
Twitter is my therapist right now. And that's a problem because Twitter is a dumpster fire.
Always.
Yeah.
What I was telling you earlier about emotional addiction is literally what I got from an Instagram post. We were talking about, would you want to see your O face? Have you ever seen your O face?
Yeah, I recorded it.
Okay.
I'm joking.
So you're a dipshit. But I haven't. Nathan hasn't. Probably, I don't know. You I'm on the fence about. But you, Bella.
I have.
You.
Seen.
Yeah, so tell us more about that. Let's dig into that.
Oh, God. Oh, my deepest, how darkest your
eyes,
secrets.
How were your eyes open? My eyes shut.
No. I they think go, she recorded it. Mm-hmm. Or you fucked under a mirror. Either way, you're
yeah, you know where you're in Vegas, and there's like the mirror on the.
So you have seen your own face.
No, Austin Powers sex.
No, what? There is a sex tape out there.
Okay, hold everything. There's an Austin Powers sex tape.
Yes.
Who the fuck ordered that?
Oh wait. Do you have a sex tape, or were we talking about Austin Powers? I was talking about the sex scene in Austin Powers. So let's just clarify.
There were so many voices going. I was trying to say that I've seen my O face because there is a sex tape of me.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay, Bella. So.
That clears up a lot.
Can you just give us some more details? Age, sex, location.
College, mm-hmm. Dorm room.
Oh, was this with your college? So Bella had a college fuck buddy, didn't you?
Yes.
And a high school just fuck buddy.
I had numerous.
Wait a second. We must find this.
just loud screams.
Yeah. No, for a brief.
Yeah, I didn't find it.
No, it is hidden away. Actually, I don't know where it is now that I think about it, which is a terrifying thought.
Yeah, it
because
is.
Because it is currently in the possession of a frat boy, so.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there was a brief moment my freshman year of college that I made a mistake in.
Sounds like there's several that you made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. More than one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very drunken night. Have you ever heard of a woodser?
What the fuck is a woodser?
Maybe it's a southern fraternity thing.
Nope.
That's where they go and fuck a
tree.
South.
Never heard.
That's why the sequoias are so big.
Yeah, it is. They're yep.
I'm wearing a tree hugger shirt right now, so it's on brand.
Yeah.
So a woodser is a party that is thrown every fall, and it's where a fraternity partners with a sorority, and they throw a big, massive party in the middle of nowhere.
So, I mean, what could go wrong?
Yeah, lots of things. Anyway, so
sounds
after...
Sounds like how I lost my virginity.
Yeah, after that woodser and a lot of whiskey, that was where I did my first 15-second keg stand.
Nice.
Yeah.
Never
came
done
back
a keg stand.
To my... Yeah.
Do you do a handstand and then they shove the keg up your ass?
Yes, that is how it's done. Yeah, you'd be
so
really
I have
good
done
at
that.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Return to my dorm room and then things proceeded from there.
When we said...
Wild.
Let me whip out my my Motorola Razr and record you in 240p.
I think it was 480. I think we got 480p. So.
Okay, at like 20 FPS.
Yeah.
It's your just pixels. Like, yeah. Oh, that's a hot pixel boob. It's like, I love that. Yeah.
I hate that y'all know this about me.
Probably on MySpace.
It might be.
MySpace is dead.
Or like.
It's still alive.
No, it's around.
And thriving.
Oh, I've Googled
it's like
myself.
A music thing now, isn't
but
it?
But I feel like it's a like a Tumblr. Wow. first stroke of the podcast,
here
ladies and gentlemen. It's like a Tumblr kind of situation where so many people have vacated, so now it's just like the core people that really know how to like use the website. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
I'm called out because I'm a Tumblr user.
You are.
Yeah. Once they ban porn and
yeah,
female presenting nipples, which are mine.
Yeah.
Female presenting.
Wait, did they ban porn?
Yes,
yeah,
they did.
They went.
So who's left?
That's great question.
People that still think that Benedict Cumberbibbles is hot.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, they look at that
well,
gaunt face and they said yes.
Well, should have a Tumblr, because you're of that opinion.
Cucumber Benberbidicks?
I love Benedict Stumberbitch. He's my favorite actor.
I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love him. Sherlock Holmes is my shit. And I do have a Tumblr. And he might be on my Tumblr. But you'll never know, because you would never guess my Tumblr name.
You've actually showed it to me.
Well,
so I have the dirt.
Show me your porn tape.
She doesn't have it.
What was that?
It's me enjoying. It's me enjoying the Dairy Queen that I have.
It's hard. My knees are old. It's really hard for me to sit like this.
It's
can
it's
I extend a leg?
It's not because they're old.
Just straddle
it's so
it.
Hard.
It's so hard.
Here's the thing. In the last couple of months, Let's just say that Lauren has been getting jousted in her pussy.
Shut the fuck up!
You can't get pregnant through forged steel. Yeah.
Jesus.
That's what's been happening. So her knees really is an age.
My
just,
knees.
It's just been what's been happening.
They're constantly bent, so it's mm-hmm. like you gotta.
That's right. Bent that's backwards. Right, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first.
She's a whore.
Yes.
We don't use that language, okay?
Okay, she's a slut.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you. I want to go back, though, mm-hmm. because you, Kenneth, mentioned that you had sex underneath a mirror. How did you not know what your O-face looked like?
Because we moved before that happened.
Okay.
Moving and popping. You have to keep going.
I don't...
Just like three pumps, switch. Three. Yeah, there you go. Oh.
I just got like an idea of like you just at a gas station. Like, oh, I just want to gas this fuck up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like squeezing the pump. Like, is that what straight sex is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gay sex is a lot of, you know, like, you know.
Is there foreplay?
Yes.
Yeah.
How could, yes.
That's any type of sex, I would imagine.
I personally think.
Good sex.
Good sex always has foreplay.
But don't you guys ever just want to, like, get to the point? You ever just want to, like.
But then it's like.
That's kind of hot, right?
I've been married for 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hot to me. Just, like, both, he's already hard. You're already there.
Yeah. It's all about just being prepared. And if your body's ready, it's ready.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes.
My body is a racehorse at the gates.
Who gets put away wet?
Who gets,
Oh, wait, dry, because hard. You don't come. Anyways.
You had a question?
Yes. I think it's incredibly important for adults to be, obviously there's certain things that you keep to yourself, but to be...
Not in this group.
But to be, like, open about, like, sex, because then it destigmatizes things that happen, like, for example, STDs. Mm-hmm. They happen. It's NBD. You talk to your doctor, it's fine. But if you don't talk about that stuff, then you're going to be so ashamed when it happens, and then you won't go to your doctor, and then it will get so much worse, and then, you know, you'll end up with, like, crabs and scabies underneath your skin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Same with sex and, like, what you enjoy. I think people don't have the conversations about what they want in bed because it kind of, like, it's not sexy. It's not always sexy, especially if it's, like, I don't like that or that doesn't really work for me. That's not a fun conversation to have. It takes a lot of balls and a lot of help, wink from your friends to help you get the courage to have those conversations. But I think in the long run, it's pretty useful.
Yeah.
I think one of the most important things there is to be concise about what you want. Like, if you're saying something's not working, you have to say exactly what's not working or what you need. Otherwise, it becomes this guessing game for the other part, like the other person.
Yeah,
that's not fair, and it becomes work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
if that like relationship there becomes work, then it begins to, like, play down to every single other part where you stop communicating about things that are more trivial, and then that becomes problematic, and then it just cascades, trickle down
economics, right? That's the thing.
And then sexonomics.
Sexonomics. Yeah.
And then the flow stops because no one's having sex. Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah.
You recently had a experience where you were not getting fulfilled. And you reached out to me and Bella and Kenneth and asked for our opinion on how to communicate that. Mm-hmm. It was very scary for you. You called me, you FaceTimed me, and you were like, what the fuck am I going to do? How was that for you?
It ended up being pretty like, rewarding. Yeah. It was like, I realized it's hard for, like, the other person to receive that information. But it's also, like, it's like high risk, high reward kind of thing. It's like, it wasn't a comfortable conversation to have, but I think it was necessary. I think I just gotten kind of used to just, like, letting that be okay. Mm-hmm. And that's not okay. Like, I just, even with, like, in my last relationship, or the relationship before last with you-know-who, it's like, it wasn't, I mean, that wasn't a thing at all, but even when we tried, it was like, I wasn't communicating what I wanted or needed. And it was so, there was so much pressure that I was like, this is not fun. Mm-hmm. But it's like just having that conversation. I had a lot of built up pressure to not have that conversation and continue avoiding it. But I was like, you know what? I'm 27. I should start, like, saying what I want and, like, asking for it. And, like, not just trying to, like, keep people safe and protect their feelings.
Yeah.
Because, like,
because I think
they don't always do that for you, right? No. They may not try to protect your feelings. And if you're fucked up, they're going to tell you, like, abrasively, and then it's gonna hurt your feelings, and then you're like, well, I don't know. So anyways, it was good. What were you gonna say, Bella? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just gonna say that I think it's more rewarding for your partner as well. Like, I mean, you have to be careful how you pose your information, but I think that if you can come to that situation and, like, have a truthful sexual experience, even if you have to have that conversation, it's more gratifying because then that person feels accomplished.
Definitely. Like,
I made you feel good and it was real.
Yeah. I think for what I found was successful was just coming from a place of like kindness and like, hey, I still want to keep doing this, but I need this to just maybe like, can we talk about maybe tweaking this a little bit and like maybe adding this, a dash of that, like, you know, and like just not like coming in hard charging defensive because I wanted to do that. I was nervous and I tend to come in harder.
Stiff.
Oh, so stiff.
Like a sequoia.
So I just come in nice, like, from like a place of love and just like, hey, like, I want to keep doing this. This is not, like, we got to try this. And that's, I don't think you can lose from that. And if that person does respond poorly, they're projecting and that's kind of a red flag.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that experience at all. It was very, kind. I mean, at least what I was, you know, told at face value. It was like, I appreciate that. It matters to me. Mm-hmm. That's all you got to say.
The thing about those conversations is, yes, they're hard to have, but they're incredibly important. And they're a great, like, as you said, a kind of gatepost to see how are you going to react to this type of conversation? Are you, because this that kind of conversation is literally you throwing your partner a proverbial and literal bone.
Yeah.
And you're saying, here's this thing that's not working. Here's how to make me, you know, gush Niagara. you know, here's how to make my mushrooms pop or something like that. I don't know.
He's gay, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen, you know.
He does not know anything about female anatomy.
I taught him the other day.
Oh God.
What did I say you for?
I did ask, though. I knew
for him. I'm his anger translator.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about the, you know, Broadway show that is the vagina. But yeah, I asked Kenneth, describe to me the female anatomy. And I didn't realize that he knew so much and so much scientific detail. I mean, pat on your back. But then I had the misfortune of thinking, let me Google this. And it was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, if you Google something, you want to see the worst part of whatever you're Googling. They're not going to just show you like, oh, here's a regular looking anything. It's always going to be a fucking nightmare of whatever that object is.
You could search like apple the fruit, and then they'll show you like a diseased, rotten, like worms.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
Fruit.
If you look hard enough, you could make any Google search dirty. Anything.
Well, that too.
Anything. That's true.
Google was like, did you want this? And you're like, oh God. Oh my God. No.
I didn't know, but I do now.
Oh, that's how I found out. Don't trypophobia talk. Relays into
no.
Bullying.
No. But, expand.
But yeah.
Cut it out.
It's also a learned phobia, so you're welcome, everyone. Yeah. You are now infected.
We're not even going to talk about it. They can Google it.
That's true.
My skin is literally starting to crack.
That's the sunburn. Oh, that's the other thing. Nom. We all got sunburned to fuck.
Yeah.
While we were outside socially distancing. That's a good
fishing.
Thing.
We were out fishing. We were out fishing.
That's correct.
We were getting bit by crawdads.
And wasps.
Wasps, excuse me.
But the back of my neck.
Southern education is not the best. I do not know bugs.
This is
you're gonna get hate mail.
Lorena. Yeah, Lorena. All of our customers are in Colorado. All of our listeners, excuse me.
Yeah.
Customers.
Well, how the hell are you? Butter my butt and call me a biscuit. It's been a while since I saw y'all. What's up?
Oh my God. In that case, let's go to a quick ad break and then we'll be back talking about loss.
But I do need to take a deep breath.
A massive shit. That's what
I mean. I do need to take one of those too. Do you guys ever just like? No real reason. But anyone who's around, is like, are you okay?
He does that to me all the time.
I do.
Yeah,
I do. I hear you. Because
eyes
to
up
me,
here, lady. Yeah.
To me, in my family, when people sighed, it was because they were angry at you.
Ooh.
This is making me want to do it right now.
Oh, God. Well, no,
we're gonna take a collective breath. Everybody, breathe in. And out.
This
all
is
right,
now
here we
turned
go.
Into a yoga podcast.
Yoga. Yogurt. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Association.
Yeah.
But yeah, now that like I know that you guys just do it to just like breathe, which is, you know, important.
Yeah.
I don't like care, but
I don't give a fuck anymore.
My innate like thought is like, oh god, they're mad at me.
Ugly cry.
Yeah.
Growing up, my household was very aggressive in their feelings. As in, like, aggressive. There was no sighing. There was just like immediate confrontation.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. It was full passive aggression. It was. Yeah, that was really great. Mm.
Yeah, oh god,
lots of that.
Traumatizing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Oh yeah.
I think my mom, when she would always like, if she thought that she sensed that I was sad or something, she'd like, you know, be cooking in the kitchen, like preparing kid food for like all the kids and stuff after work, and then like see me like visibly sad, and she'd like look over, process it, and then go through my sisters to find out what was wrong, and then give them advice through me, through them. And it worked. Honestly, it was like, it was great.
I feel like that's a benefit-esque for having siblings. Mm. For me, I'm the youngest of six, so I had all six of my siblings to like wear down my parents and to like fuck up before I came along.
That is, as the second oldest of six, I see generations of change between me and like the next youngest one in terms of what they can get away with.
Oh yeah,
they're also more clever about it, and that's, they have technology, but those girls, they're some bad bitches, my sisters.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I got grounded for going to a bonfire.
I got grounded for
mother.
What did I get grounded
for? Listening to this podcast.
Please.
Quick segment. Just call my mom and put her on speakerphone.
Yeah, put her on blast. Like,
hey. She'll be like, hey, Lauren. Yeah. I guarantee you that's how she'd answer the phone.
What's wrong? Hold on. Let me call your sister.
Yeah. Click. Your sister calls you 5 minutes later. Everything's so crazy. Here's some advice.
No, I'm serious. My sisters are, we're each other's handlers through my mother. You know, like she is using us to get information.
Oh, yeah.
It's strategic. It's impressive.
My family's the opposite because nobody tells me anything.
You're the youngest.
I didn't hear about one of my sister's pregnancies until the day she was giving birth.
Nobody tells me anything.
Yeah. That's flawed. That seems flawed.
She also lived in a different state, but also I was like, couldn't have just sent me a text.
Jesus, that's 9 months.
Yeah. I mean, you scoop up, you know, the man girt.
Things he learned from your anatomy class. And it goes into the hole.
You put it in a syringe, and then IV.
There's a unicorn too.
Right. IV, you know.
In the arm.
Pat the arm just to get the, you know, vein there. Okay. And then like 9 months later.
You poop it out.
Yeah, it comes out your belly button. It just like gapes, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot about gaping. And then, yeah.
Because his asshole is cottage cheese.
Shut up.
Pink cottage cheese.
Pink. It never
my
gets pink, easier.
My prolapse is having a relapse. Speaking about losing, feeling down in my anal sphincter.
Great segue.
We're talking about loss today. Loss. Quite a great, big, ginormous topic.
It's a heavy one.
It is.
But we last time in our last podcast was a lot of fun, but I'm excited to have maybe like a little bit of a structured conversation that might be able to help our listeners deal with loss or just maybe like be aware of loss. I think that's a big thing, is like, oh, I'm losing this. Oh, that explains my behavior.
Yeah.
It has a profound effect on me, at least mentally.
So what do you guys think are the types of loss? Because there's a lot. I would say one of them is like loss of a relationship.
I'm curious too, is like, when you think of loss, what comes to your mind immediately?
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you're in the process of losing something, or that you have recently lost something that like you're triggered about? Like, that's what, because when I think of loss, I think of like losing my friends for a few months to go travel, and then loss of, you know, people, like, you know, unexpected relationships that turn out to be pretty profound, like stuff like that. Like,
I think that when I think of loss, I go to the, like, things that I've had the most experience with in terms of what loss means to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my two biggest points of loss are, like, death, which is, you know, that, because I've lost loved ones in my life, as well as, like, loss of relationships, because I've had some very, like, impactful relationships that have ended in loss.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are probably my two biggest thoughts of what loss could be or what it is for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, when I think of loss, I associate loss with just any type of change. It's a loss of what you were used to.
Oh, yeah.
And that's also how I process loss. And then I also go back to death, because I've had to deal with process that type of loss, you know, in recent years, and it can be really difficult.
Yeah.
I actually realized yesterday that it's been 1 year since I broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years, which was like I had to grieve what felt like the loss of like another human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that person, they have to be not in a sense dead to you. Even like no matter what happens after that day, like nothing will ever be the same. And that's like you said, it's like what I knew, like it's just like breaking up was this profound unknown, which ended up being a great year. Like I've learned a lot about myself and others, but it's like that was the worst, probably the worst loss I've had in a long time.
I would say that getting out of a pretty major relationship is losing that person. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a person is dying, because that person that you knew them as, yeah, or at least that organism that you both made, is ceasing to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're processing it as if it's a death.
Yeah. Or, and I think in doing so, a part of yourself is lost.
Yeah, a sense of yourself, because mm-hmm. you weave so many aspects of your life into another person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That it does feel...
Especially if you live together.
Yeah.
And or even if you don't live together, but you spend years together. Like, we did college, we did army training, we lived together, and we met each other's parents. It was like, it was serious shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost married that guy.
3 years was a lot.
That was a lot. And we knew each other for 5, so it was like, I was very certain at the time, and then I wasn't. And that's, and then I had, that was a loss. I remember accepting that change in my heart. But yeah, definitely. Like, it is a loss of a person. Change is scary.
It is. Change is, but it can also be a great source of like getting better as yourself, mm-hmm. getting a more complete, holistic view of yourself as a human.
Because
mm-hmm. when you experience loss, then you realize that there's something missing and you try to fill that, which sometimes can be filled with, you know, addictions or drugs or
in your case, dicks,
penises, yeah. You know, there's a lot of voids needing to be filled.
So many here. Orifices, mm-hmm. not enough time.
Oh God, so many. My schedule is stacked. Appointment, 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 sleep, appointment, 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 duck.
Erection selection.
Yes. Possibly 3 at one time, question mark.
Yeah. My phone says contacts. His says erection selection.
Yes. It's an iOS update.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for the gays. It's the gay agenda.
The
yeah.
gays.
Oh my God, that would actually be a phenomenal
app. The gay agenda.
No, erection selection. Oh, like, it's really straightforward, yeah. You know?
It just shows you picture. Rather than dick pics being discouraged, it's encouraged.
It's encouraged, yeah. Your profile picture is your dick.
Oh,
love it.
That. Yeah.
I love that. And then the next one is just the ugliest picture of you, you can possibly find. So that both of those are attractive to you, you're like, there you go.
Yeah, basically, the user, but the picture has to be flaccid. Just, okay, it's but what if, such a good idea.
What if they're erect, but you have like a little string that holds the name card, and so it just hangs off the end, and it's your username.
Oh, I love that. What if you have a Prince Albert, and you can staple it on there?
What the fuck is a Prince Albert?
It's a piercing.
It's a
that goes through piercing. The pee hole. Goes through the pee hole.
That I thought was a King Charles.
It goes through the pee hole.
Not a Prince Albert. And when I Wikipedia today.
Sometimes people with Prince Albert pee out the other piercing hole.
Nuh-uh.
That's true.
Yeah, well, it's a piercing through the pee hole, down into the flesh of the penis, and then out.
Those people deserve to go to jail.
Yeah, pee hole. Urethra. Are you 12?
Urethra. Okay.
Pee hole. I just processed as you said that.
Okay, Mr. Labia Minora, whatever the fuck.
Majora.
Oh,
God.
There's two.
And
that was such a
name. Yeah, there's
yeah.
two.
Yeah.
I know. Nerd. I taught him.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Ugh.
I'm sorry I like vaginas. Is it a
problem? Yeah, it is to me.
I'm uncomfortable right now.
Oh, okay.
You're so gay. Get out of here with your gayness.
Listen, I am bisexual, not mislabeled.
That's the second time I've called her gay today, and she's not happy about it.
No.
But honestly, I'm kind of into it.
No, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of into triggering her.
Well,
triggered!
Triggered! We're
I'm
triggered!
I'm so triggered!
Oh, it's been a while. I'm triggered.
I'm triggered.
I go to the store. Exactly. Well, I don't go to the store right now.
No, don't you dare.
I do only. Instacart, triggered. I pick it up, triggered.
Mm-hmm. If they don't have gloves on,
triggered.
Open Instagram, fucking triggered. Triggered.
I text a loved one that's not texting me back. Triggered.
Fuck you.
What else are they doing?
Exactly. No, let's talk about that. Pause. If someone doesn't text you back in quarantine,
they don't want to talk to you.
They don't want to talk to you.
You better leave them on red.
You better leave them on red, sissy.
Next time that they text you, put at least 72 hours between the time that they texted you, the time you text them back.
Oh, and you have to turn on read receipts so that they know. There's no question. Receipts. Because, okay, so when someone doesn't text you back, do you wonder, like, maybe they got in a car accident, you know? That's a rational answer that they're not texting you back. Or
I usually go, they're just busy.
They have no service? Or they're busy, sure. Okay, maybe they're busy. I start with that. I'm not a psychopath. Yeah. I'm not totally crazy. But, like, you ever just, like, I spiral when I think of why people are not texting you back, and this is why I'm single.
So basically, if somebody leaves you on red, they need to experience some fucking loss.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yes. Give them some time. Let's
go full circle. We're back.
Yeah.
We're back to that.
I need that kind of loss.
But yes, if they do put you on red, they need a little bit of loss. And loss of your pussy. Don't put it out. Or your penis.
You could have had a bad bitch.
Or your very swollen clitoris. That happens, right?
Yeah, that's a thing. Girls measure their clits.
I can't help
that. Do they? That's interesting.
They do?
No.
They do. Bella, come on. Female to female. Kenneth and Nathan were both like, what? Even though that was like the biggest lie I've ever told in my entire life.
So, I mean,
whose clit is bigger? I've never had that conversation. Ever.
Never in my
Every
life.
Every girl is like, look at my clit.
I don't even think I know what mine looks like.
I can't. I'm not that flexible.
You need to...
You need a mirror. You should know.
Oh, I know where it is.
If you haven't explored but the guys full don't. Depth.
No. Honey, it's right here. I just point.
Here, I made a map it's for in you. This Here's area. A compass and your coordinates. Please find my clue.
You just have a stencil.
That's a thing. So as a straight man, I don't understand that whole thing of like guys can't find it. How the fuck is that possible?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense. No. I keep looking at Nathan. You have no idea.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My body hurts.
Okay.
Did you look at the...
Just because you're 67.
Shut up. I'm just going to get really close to the mic. Oh.
Speaking about blows. You were talking about the clitoris and not finding it correctly.
I know where the clit is. I don't understand how guys... Like, how a person who is interested in vaginas wouldn't know where that is.
Oh, boy, do I have
some
stories for you. That, like, what were we talking about just a second ago? They, like, literally rub it like they're waxing.
Polishing a shoe.
They know where it is. So there is that.
Well, I don't know, because, like, you're using most of your hand and just, like, this whole motion they think they're gonna hit it, so like that's their goal.
They're like, I've got a pretty good chance if I use three fingers.
Okay. What if I do a tap dance routine on it?
Honestly, I might have better success
than
most of these guys out here.
That's fair. I'm sorry for the segue. We're talking about loss, and this has nothing to do with that. But I
lost orgasms. That is a loss.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Here's something I want to talk about. Sometimes men do not get off with their partner because they're sometimes expected to be like these like sex gods and, you know, pleasing their partner. And sometimes they don't get off because there's not clear communication. So it's like loss of trust and shit like that.
Yeah.
This happens.
Yeah.
A lot. And I think it's linked to erectile dysfunction, personally.
Yeah. I think there's like a certain level of performance. But I also, I'm a little cynical though.
That being said, dicks are so easy. There is very little that you can do to it that won't be, like, fine.
And women are so different, like, in every woman, woman to woman.
I will say, statistically, I've had more guys come and I not come than the other way. So, where are these sex gods that care
We're
about
married.
Them? Yeah, they got snatched
Fuck.
Up.
Fuck me. No, so, like, that's the thing we've talked about. Like, they're, like, you know, in my past with guys I've dated, I've had to have that conversation and it's uncomfortable. Like, it's really, really uncomfortable. But honestly, it's pretty rewarding to, like, if you're nice about it and they're not a total psychopath asshole, then they'll reciprocate it. And they're like, I hear you. I'm listening. Basically, that's all they need to say is like, Roger, got it. Moving on. Good copy. Tracking. And then they call me ma'am, because it's ma'am.
Roger Wilco.
It's ma'am. Well, if you want to see sir, meet me outside. Like,
I'm a little turned on right now.
Call me ma'am.
Oh.
It's ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I think that says a lot about the person is how they react when you tell them, like, I'm not having a great time, but I like you and I want it to be better. If they're like, go fuck yourself, that's probably not somebody you should be with. Just some dating pro tips.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good red flag. Get it out of the way.
Yes. Here's something I actually want to talk about is when you are experiencing like a loss of or a breakdown of communication with a friend or a partner or what have you, and they, that individual decides to resolve their feelings in the matter by themselves without taking you along with them, and then they act as if there's no more feelings or communication that need to happen in that conversation when you haven't done any healing, that sends me over the edge. Because absolutely. It's frustrating that we're having this problem and you decided to be so selfish as to only resolve it for yourself and not allow me the courtesy, really that's what it is, to be on that journey of, you know, getting to the opposite, to the other side of this problem with you. That's very frustrating. It can cause further loss down the line with that friendship or relationship because you decided that I wasn't important enough to go down that journey with you.
Yeah.
That's very frustrating to me. I think it happens a lot where in order to like contain pain, people just process it without, you know, communicating with you.
That's how my relationship ended with my ex, because she did all of that, and I wasn't brought along, and the next thing I knew, the conversation was that things were over, and I had no clue as to where she had reached that conclusion without me.
Oh, that is the worst.
Especially if someone has done something negative to you, and they've forgiven themselves without you giving them forgiveness yet. I had a roommate once where she came home and after like a really hard day, I was laying on my bed in my room and she peeked her head in and called me lazy. And the next day I told her that
she
didn't
open the door, was like, you sack of shit.
You fucking
what are you, my mother?
And the next day I told her that I didn't really appreciate that and I wanted to talk about it. She said, it's okay. I'm good with it now. And that to me is I just didn't ask so you. Like
nobody asked you.
Yeah, nobody asked you, bitch. Like,
Oof.
That's the kind of breakdown in communication that I think is toxic.
Or like when you express your feelings and then it turns into a fight.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, what is happening? I told you this bothered me and now you're unloading your resentments on me?
Yeah.
Just communicate it at the time. Oh. It's hard to have that conversation. And some people are like, oh, you always nag and like shit like that. I'm like, nope, I'm just like trying to communicate this. And if you have to repeat yourself, I'm probably not the issue.
Yeah.
Or maybe I am, but like we need to talk about it. It's obviously an issue. You shouldn't project your insecurities on or frustrations onto someone when they're telling you like what you're not the one to decide if you did or did not hurt someone's feelings. You know? And that I get that a lot. Or I have in the past. Not so much anymore. But I also haven't been in a serious relationship in a long time. So
going on that, I don't think it's like you yourself, I don't think it's your job to determine someone else's feelings or
a point who are you talking
at where
to?
They are at, Lauren, specifically. I'm talking to you. I'm calling you out.
I am the worst.
I'm calling in and I'm also talking to you.
Okay, so I just want to talk about that because I do get a lot of shit about that. And it's true. I realize it's a flaw, but I think it's me trying. I like to analyze people's behaviors as a protection for myself. I try to do it to get unhurt. You know, I'm like, I want to jump the gun. I want to realize that they're not into me before they realize they're not into me. And then I end up sometimes sabotaging it or like.
That's called a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. No, it really is.
Yeah.
I've had it. No, it really is. It's like, I don't believe it will be successful and then it doesn't end up being successful. Right. So it's just like, I only do that because I'm like, I'm trying to like get out before I get, I don't want to invest in a place where like someone is going to hurt me. And they know it, and I don't, you know, so I just, it's definitely a defense. It's like kind of a chess game for me. It's like, I'm trying to like enjoy myself, but it's hard to when you're thinking, I'm really trying to regulate like that thought process and just kind of live in the moment. And it's suffocating sometimes, but I've gotten a little bit better at it, believe it or not. But it's obviously rooted in ego and insecurities and trust issues because people have like said one thing and then done the other and past relationships as I'm not special. It happens to everybody. I just think, you know, I care a lot and I think I try to stay ahead of it and maybe fix it or get out.
because we're only inside of a room with our own thoughts, it is hard to try to understand someone else's perspective sometimes. That kind of goes to empathy, is mm-hmm. putting yourself in their shoes. Mm-hmm. Because you really only know your own perspective. So sometimes, I know with myself, sometimes I literally have conversations with myself where I'm playing both parts. Mm-hmm. Both the myself and the person I'm talking to. And I sound like an absolute psychopath. I'm just in the shower like,
I think you just said that. And,
you know? And,
multiple personalities disorder.
Oh, fully. And if there's multiple people, it's worse because I'll make like voices to differentiate themselves. Nice. So I'll be like, and then I said, and then I said, you know, and it's just, yeah. But it's kind of a good thought process to be like, okay, this is what I'm feeling. How could I possibly, you know, how could the other person possibly be thinking? This is the most logical, quotation marks, thought process that they might be under. Let's see what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I was going with that, but.
No, I think that's definitely, I've heard that that's actually a very good coping mechanism, is just to, like, either verbalize it, be it, like saying it out loud, and then hearing yourself say it, and that is a way to do that. Like, I've heard, like, from, like, therapists, and, like, all over, like, the internet, there are some good sources out there that are like, you should do that. That's not a, it feels weird, but so does journaling, you mm-hmm. know, so does talking to a therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think I encourage that. I mean, you are a psychotic bitch, but, like, you know, I do encourage
thanks.
That. Yeah. Thanks. If only your shampoo bottle could talk.
Oh, my God. It's like, this bitch gets in the shower.
Which one got in today?
Yeah. They're like, oh, God.
Oh, Lorena, she's back, that bitch.
I get in the shower, I'm like, and then I said, and they're like, oh, fuck. My three moisturizing bottles are like, oh, God. We're in for it today. He's going to wash his face three times and not even realize it.
Oh, I do that more often than I should. She's like, fuck, did I use shampoo?
Oh.
Gotta try it again.
And then you get out of the shower, you're like, wow, my skin is really dry. It's because I used it three times. Oh my God.
It's like red and raw.
Yes.
And all your skin's like the first layer.
Just like a
so is my face.
Cottage cheese.
Oh. Have you ever opened a new thing of cottage cheese and there's just whey on the top?
Stop.
That's what's happening back there.
Just moist.
Or opening a chalk bag, opening and closing a chalk bag, powder, just like white ash. Residue of once was. Once. What?
What once
was. What the once was.
There's like a ruins back there, like Gimli and the whole like Lord of the Rings are like in my ass. In my ass.
Mm-hmm.
In my ass. Ooh. Ooh. I talk about my ass a lot.
Lord cave dwellings.
Cave, splunking, caverns. Mm-hmm. Man.
Man.
Man. That's, yeah, I mean, there you go. Okay, put me back like when I was 15, 16. I would have never talked
about
my
ass.
2 years ago. Shut up.
When you were 17.
Shut up.
I'm 27. I'm just jealous.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, the wrinkles really haven't set
in. 27.
Yeah.
Stop.
I need Botox.
Oh my God.
Here's something.
We live till we're like 85, 90. 27 is nowhere near old.
Here's something I actually was thinking about is I have a few tattoos and they're all like really important to me. And I got them knowing that I would have them forever. What am I going to be like with these tattoos, like with a Calvin Hobbes tattoo?
When no, I'm like the 80? Lady Gaga tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to be forever.
Born this way?
That's yes. going to be forever.
Like on his ass cheeks. Oh, my it's like God. Like saggy ass. Like, what does that say?
It's on my clavicle, you bitch.
I was about to say, you have a tattoo on your ass? Hello.
No. It just says, funny.
Why did Bella get to see your butt?
That's what it says. Dump truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What if you went into a tattoo parlor and you're like, I want dump truck back there.
Bonus garage.
Yeah. Hoops would tattoo that on you.
Oh.
Or like, they probably give
draw,
money?
Yeah. Or they draw
any
straws
good
in the back.
Businessman.
Yeah.
Or woman.
They would draw straws out of the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're it's not been used for a while, huh, Nathan? There's a few farm animals in
I'm
here.
I'm over this conversation. Back to loss.
Yeah. Loss of anal power? I don't know.
Innocence. Innocence. Loss of innocence.
Loss of innocence.
Okay, so.
I was so naive a couple years ago.
When you weren't talking about your asshole, but now you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, when, like, we talked about, like, a few ways of, like, a few ways loss can impact, like, a few ways loss is manifested in life, right? When you feel like maybe loss is, if you have time to prepare for it, like, not really death, I guess, in any case, but, like, how do you prepare for maybe, like, an, like, impending loss or a loss that just happened? Like, sometimes I feel like I am processing loss and I haven't processed that I'm processing it, but, like, I naturally do things that make me feel happy, mm-hmm. like working out or listening to music, sometimes, like, just happy music to make me not feel that way. I try not to do that as much because I realize, like, being sad is a way to be better, right? And that's definitely a 26-year-old me thing that I've been trying, and I'm 27, so here we go. So what do you guys do to, like, process loss? Do you, like, do you sit in the feelings? Do you, like, try to get out of them as soon as possible?
For me, I try to set up all the logistical things, all the logical things beforehand. Of course.
He has a, like, calendar.
Like, way beforehand. And then that allows me to just be in the raw emotions. No, that's good. And not having to care about external things so that I can just process that.
Yeah. No, that's, like, I mean, I made fun of you, but...
I mean, that way, like, I schedule all the things that normally would detract me from processing and understanding the loss.
So what are you putting on your, this, where, what are you blocking off?
So I make sure that I have, like, the time outside of work. I make sure that the people around me are aware of what's happening and when it might happen. Mm-hmm. I set up, for example, if it's, like, if it's, heaven forbid, like, a loss in the family, you don't know when it's going to happen, you make sure that people are informed of that discrepancy, and you mm-hmm. make sure that, like, once it happens, then you can just, like, send out one piece of information, then a cascade of events happen. Like, for example, with my mother, she's not necessarily in the best of health, she's not in the worst, but I've set it up so that if anything bad does happen, I can just text, like, one or two people, and then it just goes, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And that allows me to kind of just sit in the sadness, as it were, sit in the pain, sit in that and feel it to its rawest extent. So I don't have to worry about updating people or being yeah. anything outside of what I am in that moment.
That's good. I need a seminar. Can you do that for me? Because I do the complete opposite. I'm so bad about, like, just pushing everything away and, like, mm-hmm. living in this space of denial. If, like, it's like I know loss is coming, or even when it happens, it's like, okay, I'm just gonna not deal with it, and then that always leads to just, like, this bubbling over, and then I become, like, too lost in it, like, mm-hmm. just denial for so long, and then when I deal with it, it's just, like,
overwhelming.
Yeah which is not good, and that is definitely something I have to work on.
I feel like when you're overwhelmed with feelings, that's when you strike out and you lash out at people that care. Yes. And that's when you try to, either you do that or you push them away. Mm-hmm. You isolate yourself. And both of those are really toxic
yeah.
to recovery.
Yeah. Or reckless behavior, things yeah. like mm-hmm. that. Yeah. yeah.
Anything just don't erratic.
Take care of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not paying attention to your schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say for me, so one of the things, I wouldn't say I'm the best at dealing with loss or anything like that, but as I said before, I view loss as just adapting to change. And I've been doing that my whole life. And of course, everybody's been adapting to change, but being a military brat and that kind of stuff, rapid succession of loss throughout my life or change throughout my life. And so, the way that I deal with it is, I guess, through humor and just, like, I try to make people around me happy, mm-hmm. and that makes me happy.
Yeah.
And then I'm fine. And then I escape to the wilderness. The wilderness. No.
Like, the outdoors.
Yeah, the outdoors. Like, I'll go for a walk or, you know, kind of eco-therapy type stuff. But other than that, like, I it's pretty lightweight at the end of the day. Like, even the heaviest of losses, like, I cycle through them very quickly. It sometimes it's scary how fast. Like, mm-hmm. all right, well, on to the next thing. Moving mm-hmm. on. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that the thing I lost or the person I lost doesn't mean a lot to me. It's just, I can't sit in those feelings for, like, I don't feel those feelings for very long.
Same. I'm the exact same.
I think. And you were a military brat, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'm also, like, my parents were divorced, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot of back and forth, emotionally and physically. And I think that's one thing that people, like, who are change adverse don't understand. Is, like, that was my whole life. It's mm-hmm. just, like, change with, like, stations. Change, but also change with my parents, like, my mom and my dad. It was just, like, change constant. So it's, like, I think I have a bit of, like, maybe separation anxiety that I need to deal with. But, like, I'm also, like, I value my independence so much, but I realize that, like, I think I'm a bit of an emotional addict to, like, certain relationships and stuff like that. So I think, I don't like to sit in those feelings for long. I like to just move on. If I could just move on and never feel them, I would, right?
Yeah.
So I do, like, sometimes, but I think probably too, because sometimes it's too much. I can't, like, sometimes I feel emotions so deeply that I can't, it's not good for me to just sit there. Mm-hmm. So I have to, like, sometimes I allow it and then I'm done. You know, I'm gonna cry for 5 minutes and then I'm done.
I think it's all about good balance.
Yeah.
Like, being able to live in your emotions, accept what they are, mm-hmm. and then healthily move on.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, not accepting them or brushing over too quickly. Because I have mm-hmm. instances where I brush over something really quickly. And then, mm-hmm. like, 6 months later, I'm just, you know, doing whatever. And all of a sudden, you're just, like, punched in the face mm-hmm. with these emotions.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you remember me? Yeah, you didn't
properly okay. process
them. You thought
them.
It was gone? Okay.
Yeah. It's time to panic. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it is just about finding the balance of, like, making sure you're rooted in your day-to-day, but also mm-hmm. taking those moments to be like, okay, mm-hmm. this happened.
I do think, like you said, something about, like, having that foundation is, so I love, like, my structure. I love, like, having, like, a routine. And because it's, like, something, like, if all else fails, I still know this will make me feel better.
That's yeah. huge. Yeah. Like, have a routine.
Oh,
is
my
huge.
God. If you don't yeah. have a routine, like, if you are, like, my life is chaos, I don't have a routine. I don't know what, I wake up and I don't know what I'm going to do for the day. I'm like, well, I try to wake up and I'm like, I don't know in what order. I normally know the order, and it usually starts with coffee no matter what. But it's mm-hmm. like, I have at least maybe 5 things every day that I have to get done. 3 things that are, like, essential, right? It's like coffee, drink water, and exercise. And talk to my friends, you know, like, talk to my friends and do something, like, something that is productive, something that makes me happy, and something that keeps me in shape.
Routines.
Like, even when my uncle died, it was, like, it was earth-shattering for our entire family, but I still worked out. I worked out the day that I found out he died. I got a lot of shit for that. And I think that's fucked up, because people should be able to cope with however they want to mm-hmm. fucking cope. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to work out. And honestly, those are some of the best workouts that I've had, is when I'm just, like, furious.
And damn it, I cope with Coke.
Whatever.
And people give me shit about that, too. And I say, do what you want. Live your dreams, even if your dreams mean dying early from mm-hmm. dysentery. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Good. What are you does doing?
Coke? I don't know. You do cocaine. We know.
I don't know.
Yeah. So that's my spiel. Structure is hell, because it's, you can fall back
yeah,
on it.
And no,
when life changes, like, even with Corona, it's like, my gym's closed. My rock climbing gym closed. My CrossFit gym closed. I can't go into work. I can't travel. I can't, like, just go to the beach and Colorado, you know, like, I gotta do that anyways, but we're not gonna talk about it. But it's like, no matter what, I was like, I'm gonna work out at home. It's mm-hmm. such, it's so ingrained in every fucking part of my life that, so help me God, I'm gonna find a way to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are getting overwhelmed with the quarantine and not being able to do that, but I'm like, I'm fucking fine. I'm yeah. as shredded yeah. as I've been in over a year. Like, it's good. It's mm-hmm. good. We're good.
That's why it's important to do even the little things, like having a cup of coffee in the
yeah.
morning.
Hell yeah.
That's why I think people do it so much, besides the fact that it gets them up and going.
And it puts a gun to their butthole.
Correct. have you ever had some coffee and then immediately pooped?
Every
Just
day.
Immediately. I finished the last drop and I'm like, here comes.
Black Beauty on her way.
Get my iPad, go in there
She'll
for
be coming
20, 30
around
minutes.
The mountain. Yeah.
But yeah, even coffee, like, doing things and putting things into your routine that do not depend on external factors, just depend on you doing them, mm-hmm. is so important. Mm-hmm. That's
yes,
why absolutely. Yoga is really important, because all you need is a mat and a body, and hopefully you have one of
just
those.
Just a body. It doesn't even have to be yours. just body. Find a body.
Go to the morgue. Borrow a body. If you have a kid, use that body. You know,
Kenneth,
twist them like a pretzel.
He's like, I have one of those.
Yeah, but a yoga mat or a cup of coffee.
I ate so much pasta in my stomach. My shirt is so tight right now. You guys don't even know. No, I don't.
Stop undressing.
Bella for later.
ASMR. That's what I was going for. I just wanted our audience to know you were going to make it.
My knees hurt too. Everything hurts. I'm dying.
Once again, Lauren is 67. Yeah. She has...
You have to work on the posture. She was giving me shit earlier for sitting up too straight.
Because that's what... You look weird doing it. I'll tell you that to your fucking face, Ken. As I am now. It's weird.
I'm sorry.
Wait. You and you liberals with your agenda.
You can't even pretend to be one.
Fucking hate those liberals. No. Liberals. You don't say it. You knew what I was going to say.
I do.
Because you are one.
Damn right.
I love, let's talk about Southerners that are liberals. I love them.
You're welcome.
That's me.
I love you too.
High five.
Outside of this room.
From you.
No thanks.
I'm from the South and they were just like.
Oh, wait.
Kentucky, right?
Kentucky.
I was born in Georgia.
Oh.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh. In Georgia. The
I hate
country
me and Kentucky
in...
don't have a good relationship.
Kentucky's the fucking worst. I lived on that base.
I've only been to hell, which is Fort Knox.
Fort Knox, Kentucky is the fucking worst.
Here's the thing. Kentucky, the state is great. Life.
It's beautiful.
Kentucky, the people garbage. Are the worst. Okay. It's like high and low lows.
Yeah, the land in Kentucky is absolutely beautiful.
The foliage.
The foliage. The trees.
Just a singular tree. Just one tree. And maybe a shrub. Yeah. Love them. Mm-hmm. 10 out of 10. Retweet.
The rampant moss that grows everywhere and destroys buildings, that too.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Amazing.
Love
it.
So beautiful.
That would be the first place they would return to nature.
Yeah.
Nature's healing.
The poison ivy that...
That is the worst.
Got up in my butt. That's bad. In the field.
Although the trees are thick as hell. It's like South Dakota thick.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Thick. Two C's.
I got a very minor case of poison ivy. I'm very lucky. I don't know why. Because I have very otherwise sensitive skin, but... I did accidentally pee in a bush of poison ivy.
Do you?
It's called herpes. I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
It's called crabs.
Yeah. Do you pee on the poison ivy?
Like, specific
that's
question.
That's jellyfish stings.
No, okay, so there's bull nettle.
Oh, that's sorry. Do I pee on the...
Yeah,
do you
poi on the peasin? Yeah, do you poi on the peasin?
No, poison ivy is... It has an oil on it that people are allergic to. You might not be allergic to it, but it's an oil, and when it gets on your skin, if you're allergic to it, then it creates blistering.
I actually
like
think that if I didn't get the blistering, I just had it... It was an itch, but I think it's kind of like the itch of, like, sitting in grass for too long, and how it kind of makes... I think I'm slightly allergic to, like, the sage family, and where it will give me out... I'm very allergic to it. It will get, like, anytime, like, sagebrush touches my skin, it will make me get, like, nasally allergies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, acute bronchitis and, like, the worst conditions. But, like, I think that's what happened. I don't think I'm allergic to poison ivy because I'm an idiot.
I really am.
And I have horrible field discipline, and I have probably touched it many times.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I was a kid, and I got stung by the bull nettle.
Those are terrible.
And my stepmom just, like...
Yeah. Stepmom peed on you?
Stop.
She opened up her legs and said,
"Get
ready."
Texas?
Hello? Get ready.
No.
She's actually from Florida.
Oh.
That makes
sense. All right, we're done hearing that. You say no more. Say, she convinced you?
She said she opened up her legs and it sounded like a door opening. And
it
she was like, get over here.
I was a kid and she was like, you gotta pee on it. And I was like, what?
You don't have
and
to
she's
pee on
like,
it.
Here, I'll get you. Yeah, it was real.
Can I say something?
Fucked up.
Some people from Florida, specifically Miami, are super aggressive.
They're
like,
a lot.
Like, you could be, like, in line for coffee, and they're in front of you, and they will turn around and be like, fuck you! Like, what did I do?
It's like New York.
I was about to say, it's like, yeah.
It sounds like I've never been to... I've never hung out in Miami.
Yeah.
I've only been, like, to, like, a port for a cruise. Yeah.
They look at you as if you stabbed their kid, and I may or may not have. You know, it's... the courts have not decided yet, but...
I was acquitted.
Yeah.
That record.
Don't look
expunged.
At my record. Yeah. Which is a record player.
Yeah. Ooh, who texted you, Bella?
Speaking of which, we're going to take while Bella plans her next dick appointment, we're going to take a quick...
My knee! Did you hear that? It feels good now, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to extend it. I'm
That's
scared.
That's me sitting down on
the dick. I'm scared. Guys.
Oh, it feels good now.
Oh, so my knee!
I don't think I'm going to be able to sit up again.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're going to take a quick ad break, and we'll be right back. Back.
No playing with the holes.
Oh. Oh god. That's the first thing you wanted to say to the public?
Kenneth was messing with
his finger in the holes. We know.
Yeah.
When all four of us get, I mean, holes just appear. Got a finger.
I got big hands. Oh god. I'm sorry.
Don't look at me after you say something like that. Ever. No.
Take two.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
I'm a married spud.
You guys think this isn't going into the final edit?
I'm good with it. I'm fine with anything that goes in there.
I was never here.
Fake news?
I think it would be an interesting segment to just edit me out of all of this. Or like one of us, you know, just like, just for context.
And so the other, like people are reacting to what that person's saying, yeah. But mm-hmm. you can't hear what
it's
it is.
Like multiple minutes of silence and then someone being like, that's really important. Mm-hmm. I like that. This is the rant segment. I don't think many of us have things to rant about, but I do have to say one thing, and that is, if y'all are going out in mass quantities during this global pandemic to protest protections or to go to beaches or to otherwise frolic... And, be a dumbass.
And not, well, the most important thing, like, going to the beach is okay, but
in mass.
Yeah, not socially distancing.
With multiple hundreds of other people. Mm-hmm. Y'all dumb. Mm-hmm. Y'all dumb. I think, personal opinion, TBH, if you do that kind of shit during a pandemic, you should have to sign a paper that says that if you get sick, you can't go to the hospital.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you're so dumb.
I actually saw this, like, Twitter story unfold from this crazy lady who was posting about, like, her massive family gatherings, and she was like, don't give in to the fear, fake news, we're all fine, and then it was another thing, like, still out here having a great time, mm-hmm. don't give in to the fear. No, then the third one was like, I can't find anywhere to get tested for coronavirus. It is my right to be tested when I want to be tested. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, there you go.
You know, sometimes when you can't breathe because you infected basically yourself mm-hmm. and all of your loved ones, maybe it's time to pull back. Yeah. You know? Maybe it's time to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to not be a dumbass.
Or if you're protesting and nurses from the local hospital come and stand out on the street and shame you... You should really reevaluate your life.
That's crazy.
There was a picture where some Brenda was leaning out of her, you know, Suburban, yelling at a nurse who was just like blocking them from going to the Denver State Capitol building to protest, you know, protections for their benefit. And it's like, how stupid do you have to be to look at a nurse who is telling you to go home and say no?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's not a political statement. It's literally for their health.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doctors and nurses have the Hippocratic Oath. Mm-hmm. They're not doing, except for Dr. Phil, they're not doing stuff for, you know, publicity or for clout, you know, the young kid, you know, phrases. Mm-hmm. They're doing it because they want you to be protected.
You cool cats.
Yeah. Clown. Oh.
Yeah. They're like, it's lit. Sick.
Word.
Word up to my homos. Yeet. What?
Yeet.
Yoink.
Snatched.
Yeah.
How do you do it? I still can't. Wait. Okay, I'm really the only one here who can't do it? Okay.
Correct.
Fuck you guys, first of all. Fuck you, I'm out.
It's not a, like a... No. No, you're like putting... No.
Okay. More pressure.
This is...
So good.
Yeah, you're putting the roof of your tongue.
It hurts my mouth to do that.
We know.
I don't want to do it. I'm done.
Yeah.
We know you're not very good with your mouth. It's okay.
I'm not.
Oh.
This is why I don't like foreplay, because I suck at it. Minimal effort.
You just WWE elbow slam. Mm-hmm.
I think
a guy.
I need to revoke your bisexual card if that's the case.
Well.
Here, I'd like you to confirm, Kenneth, if a girl came up to you and was like, hey, and started, you know, took a chair and WWE style, like, slammed you over the back with it, would that turn you on?
For a gay, you really make a lot of WWE references.
I know.
Go on. I thought you smacked her.
I was like, wouldn't it be the first time? Anyways.
If a girl slammed a chair against my back aggressively, would that turn me on?
Oh, he's like, fuck yes.
They like smack my ass.
Like on a scale of hard to solid, how hard would you be?
I would be confused.
A question mark boner?
I guess that's the thing. It's never happened, so I don't know.
That's correct. Yeah. If you did that to Lauren, since she's, you know, 78, she would probably, you know, the mesothelioma.
If you're going to talk shit, you better get it right.
That's correct.
That's what my bullies used to tell me when I tried to clap back. You were, and they're like, having a speech impediment.
Impediment. Talk shit, get hit.
If having a speech impediment, in middle school is not great for handling bullies, I'm done. I'm done talking.
Okay, let's talk about middle school.
No.
Oh, God,
let's
no.
Not.
No, not about our experiences, but like kids are okay to a certain point, and then they're trash, and then they're okay again.
In middle school is when they're trash.
In middle school.
Yes.
And they're okay at like... 28?
Yes. I'm not okay
questionable.
Yet.
You know, you're getting
questionable.
Lauren's not okay yet.
I'm not 28. We'll find out when I'm actually 28. I'm 27.
27?
I'm 27. What's up? My name's Lauren. I'm from Brooklyn.
I'm 27. I have a speech impediment.
Fuck you.
Do you guys want to go play games in my mom's basement?
You're really good at that, says the man who drank milk through his nose. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
High school was fuck. You don't even know. Milk? Middle school was lit.
What about chocolate milk through the nose? I feel like that would be more of an experience.
Even better. It's creamier. It's good.
I love
it. It comes from brown cows and they're adorable.
That's racist. I do have to say that during this time of uncertainty
you fucker.
Make sure to moisturize yourself. You know, your face.
Hand sanitizer, face mask. Where are your fucking face masks? Seriously.
Yes.
God.
If you can't find one of the normal ones, like leave the medical grade to the nurses.
Scarf, bitch.
Yeah.
Wear a scarf, wear a headband, my mom made these like cloth ones, a shirt.
Yeah.
That's great. Like get
you
the
got, like the ski thing, just like
balaclava.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And while you're at it, you can go rob a bank.
Oh my God.
There you go.
It's dual purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Just cough a little bit. No one will touch you.
And as Kenneth mentioned earlier, all of us with ugly faces but beautiful eyes, it's our time to shine.
It is.
It's my fucking time.
Hide your worst features and just like make it rain.
You know?
Arch an eyebrow?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that are the porn actors without much of a face.
Mm-hmm.
It's great time to, you know, show off those, you know, that paper bag that you've been creating.
The possibilities just were opened up to me. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Career change.
Yeah. I mean, it's time. It's your time. Get that bag. Mm-hmm. Get that money.
I heard a fun analogy it's because there was a lot of people that were saying that wearing a mask is going to stop you from not getting corona. Isn't gonna stop you from getting corona. There we go. Words are hard. I heard a fun analogy where it was like, if two people were walking around and one person pees and nobody had pants on, they might pee on you. And you're gonna get a lot of pee on you. If you're wearing pants, you'll get a little less pee. If they're wearing pants, you're not gonna get any pee on you.
Yeah.
I needed that metaphor. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Now I do.
I mansplain like the fucking best of them.
Yeah.
He
said, this is what where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if everybody wears masks, no pee gets on you.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Moral of the story is...
Unless you're important.
Don't pee.
Don't pee unless there's consent.
And so it's paying you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, golden shower.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
And if worse comes to worse, kidneys are a couple $1,000s. You can sell them
off. Yeah, ovaries too.
Oh my god, you can make some.
Some of us don't have access to ovaries.
Serious money. Holy shit. Serious money selling your ovaries.
I don't want to be a eunuch. That would be so off balance.
So put in a prosthetic.
What?
I feel like that's more expensive than the actual ball.
Is it squishy?
It's metal.
I mean, I don't have.
What if you have prosthetic balls and you go through a metal detector?
Why would it be metal?
What if you had to do an MRI? Like,
this guy has balls of steel.
No, literally. He has balls
of steel. What if you didn't tell them that you had balls of steel and you went into an MRI and you're just being...
Oh my god, they just ripped the fuck out of your...
God. You get into the thing and it's just like... on the bed in the MRI machine.
Oh god.
And then you die in the MRI machine because you bled out.
Bled out.
Oh my god. Well, at least he died doing what he loved. Putting his balls against things.
That's how we lost the first set.
Speaking of loss.
Yeah. Don't lose your testicles or ovaries. I almost said vagina. That's how much I know. But make sure to spay and neuter your cats and keep yourself moisturized. And don't go outside unless you're going to, like, a place with 10 or less people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And wear your fucking masks. Mm-hmm. Don't fuck people during this time. Dildos exist for a reason.
You just stared directly at Lauren while you said that.
Yeah, really.
Called out. No exchanging of bodily fluids, okay?
Don't give people the good slurp and twist.
Okay.
Do the...
Do you want me to say yeah? Sure. Yes. I said it.
Do the...
Fine.
Slurp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yes.
Okay. Enjoy the rest of your day, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see you on the flip side.
We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Forever.
Goodbye.